Thank you for listening to the Collective Church podcast. Collective is a church for the rest of us, which means if you've never been to church, walked away from the church, or are struggling to find a church to connect with, you belong here. Right now, we're in a sermon series called Standing on Business, which is all about who we are as a church and the values that we stand on. These are the things that make Collective Collective, so we're glad you're listening. Now let's get into Sunday's message.
A few years after getting married, my wife Ray and I were living in Johnson City, Tennessee. And one afternoon, we got a call from CT, who was just up here, and he was asking us if we wanted to go on a hike with some of our friends. And most days, we would have said yes, but on this particular Saturday, there was a tornado warning. Not a watch, but a warning, which means they saw a tornado in the area. And so I told CT that we were going to stay home because I've seen the movie Twister before, and I don't want to be that cow flying around in circles. And CT's response to me was, Johnson City doesn't get tornadoes. But we weren't as confident as he was, so we declined. Not even an hour later, the winds started to pick up. The sky turned that terrifying greenish, like dark gray color, and hail started to fall. So I called CT, hoping he wasn't on a trail somewhere with our friends, and he told me that as they were driving up into the Appalachian Mountains to get to their trailhead, they were stopped by a downed tree. And that's when they realized that Johnson City does get tornadoes, so they quickly turned around. Over the next few hours, a Category 3 tornado with winds up to 130 miles per hour ripped through the Tri-Cities area. A few days after the storm, Ray and I were driving, and we came upon some of the destruction, and you could literally see the path that the tornado carved down the side of these mountains across a highway and into a small town in Virginia called Glade Springs that just completely annihilated. But here's what was amazing about this. It didn't level all of the trees. It wasn't mountainsides full of downed trees. In fact, most of the trees somehow were still standing. And you could tell that the tornado was right on top of them at some point. And the reason why they were able to stand tall during the storm was because they had good roots. Right now, we're in a series called Standing on Business, where we're going through the six core values of Collective. And today, we're going to talk about our value of being rooted in truth. And before I explain what that means to us, I want to break down the two key words in this value, starting with the word rooted. Proverbs 12:3 says, the godly have deep roots. Proverbs 12:12 says, the godly are well-rooted and bear their own fruit. King Solomon, who wrote this, is explaining that people who follow God have deep and healthy roots. And I want to make sure that we understand that when he uses this phrase, godly, he isn't talking about people who just believe in God. He is talking about people who trust and obey God. Because belief in God and trusting God are two very different things. You can believe in God and not follow what he teaches. You can believe in God but not allow God to actually lead in your life. And the reason I want to distinguish between believing in God and following God is because if you just believe in God, it does not mean that you have deep roots. And so these verses aren't about belief. They are about trust. And Solomon says, people who trust God and live according to God's will, those people have good roots. Now let's talk about roots from the perspective of science. Roots are the anchor of any tree, and they are what help them stand strong through the storms that they face. Roots also absorb water and nutrients to help trees grow. And roots do this amazing thing called rhizofiltration, where they decontaminate groundwater. Meaning roots clear out the things that are harmful to the tree and also the surrounding plants. And so when we say that we want to be rooted, this is what we want our life to look like. We want to have deep roots. We want to be strong enough to withstand storms. We want to be healthy enough to grow and bear fruit. We want to be wise enough to be able to filter out what is toxic and can hurt us. But it's not just about the roots, is it? It's about what the roots are anchored into. Because it doesn't matter how strong roots are if a tree is planted into shallow dirt. It doesn't matter how strong roots are if a tree is planted onto an unforgiving surface like concrete or stone. And it doesn't matter how strong roots are if a tree is planted into a soft ground where there isn't anything for the roots to grab onto. So we don't just want to be rooted. We want to be rooted into the right thing. Right? We want to be rooted in truth. Now let's talk about that word truth. I think we would all agree that it's hard to know what truth is anymore. Truth seems to change from person to person. Honestly, truth just feels very subjective right now. And so if we want to be rooted in truth, we have to know what truth is. In John 17, Jesus is praying to God. He's actually praying for people like us. And this is what he says in John 17:17. He says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." And so Jesus says that God's word, which is just another way of saying the Bible or scripture, Jesus says that God's word is truth. And so when we say that we are rooted in truth, we are saying that our roots are anchored in scripture. Right? What helps us withstand storms in our marriages, in our mental health, and in our addiction is God's word. What helps us grow in our faith, in our self-confidence, and healing from our wounds is God's word. What helps us filter out what is toxic, the toxic relationships, the toxic thoughts, the toxic sin we struggle with, is God's word. And so for us, rooted in truth means that we trust in scripture because we believe that it leads to the best life possible. Now, just like every other value in this series, there are two responses to how we live this out. There is the collective response, like what we do as a church, but then there's our response as individuals. How we live, how do we bring this into our own lives? And so let me explain what this means for collective. When we say that collective is rooted in truth, this means that because we trust in scripture and we believe it leads to the best life possible, everything we teach, whether that be from stage or in collective kids or in our small groups or anywhere else, everything we teach will be rooted in scripture. Now, we might use science and psychology to back it up. We might tell some stories to help us better understand what we are learning. But everything we teach will be anchored in God's word. From time to time, I'll get an email or I'll have a conversation with someone and they'll ask me, where does Collective stand when it comes to this topic? Or what does Collective believe with fill in the blank? And I'll always say some form of, Collective teaches what the Bible teaches. It is not about my opinion. It is not about that church leader who said that one thing that one time. It's not about denominational traditions or non-denominational. It is about God's word. Really, it's about what does the Bible say? And so the best way to know what we teach is to read your Bible. Now, if reading your Bible leads to more questions, then you need to come find me after service and I'll do everything I can to answer them. Right? Most of the time I'll say, I don't know, to be honest. But I'll always have that conversation if you are owning your growth. But if you want to know who we are as a church, what we are rooted in, collective is rooted in truth. We are anchored in scripture. We grab onto God's words. Now that's collective, but what does this mean for you? Because remember, these values aren't just collective things, and we're not just doing this series so you know what collective is all about. We're doing this series because we know that if we embrace these values in our own life and in our own faith, we will experience the life to the fullest that Jesus offers. Now, just like the other values we've gone through so far, we're going to look at a story from Jesus' life that goes hand in hand with this value. And we're going to read about a time when Jesus' foundation was tested, and he proved that he was rooted in truth. We're going to start in Matthew 3, picking up in verse 13, and it says this, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John." That word baptism means immersion. It's the idea of being dunked in water, and it symbolizes a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection. Now, at the time, Jesus hadn't died and resurrected from the dead yet, so it didn't carry the full meaning that it does today, but it still symbolized obedience and trust. And for Jesus, he does this because it marks the start of his earthly ministry. And this is the beginning of all the great things that he's going to do for the next 3 years, leading him to the cross. Verse 14 says, "But John tried to talk him out of it. John said, 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me?'" The John that Matthew is writing about here is this guy named John the Baptist, who Jesus would actually later say is the greatest person alive. And in this moment, John balks at the idea of baptizing Jesus because, as most scholars believe, John knew, right? Before anybody else really knew, John knew that Jesus was the Son of God. John knew that Jesus was without sin, so he didn't need to be baptized. But Jesus pushes back in verse 15. It says this, Jesus says, "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." And so John agreed to baptize him. And this is really important. Jesus wasn't baptized because he had some sin in his life that he needed to clean out. Jesus wasn't putting to death his old life and being made new. Jesus was without sin. But Jesus himself says that he needed to get baptized because it was what God asked him to do. And so Jesus chose to get baptized out of trust and obedience to God. And so let me just say this. For those of you who have never been baptized before, whether you've been following Jesus for years or are new to following Jesus, or you're about to make that decision to step into your faith, this story, this part of the story should be enough to encourage you to check the baptism box and get baptized by immersion. It really should be as simple as reading these three verses for you to say, okay, this is something I know I need to do. Because the truth is, Jesus wasn't sprinkled as a baby. Right? The Virgin Mary, his mother, didn't make this decision for him. Jesus chose at the age of 30, out of obedience to God, to be dunked. He chose to get baptized to publicly say who he was, what he believed, and what he was about to do. And I would say also that he did it to show what he was rooted in. Right? Think about it. Baptism is the action in Scripture that is tied to putting your faith in and following Jesus. It's a declaration that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. It's showing you don't just believe in God, you trust God. So what are you doing when you get baptized? Well, one of the things you are doing is saying that is that your life is rooted in Christ, that your life is rooted in faith, that your life is rooted in truth. And this is why we follow Jesus' lead and get baptized. Today, we get to celebrate Nick at first service and Josie at second service as they take this next step in their faith. And what they are declaring today and what we will celebrate with them is that Jesus is their leader and forgiver. And they want to publicly let everybody know that their lives are anchored to God and his truth. And so if you haven't taken this next step yet, I encourage you to follow Nick and Josie's lead as they follow Jesus's lead. Check the baptism box and we'll reach out to you this week and we'll talk, what does it mean to put your faith in Jesus? Really, what does it mean to do the things that he did as you say that you are following him? Let's keep reading though. Verse 16 says this, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Other translations will say, you are my son who I love. And the reason why I start by sharing this part of the story is because right after this moment, right after Jesus gets baptized, he is put to the test. Matthew 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. Now, we don't actually know why the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right? All pastors have all different types of opinions on it. Some say Jesus did it to prove that he was human, to prove that he could also be tempted, but to withstand that temptation. Some say it's because it was like gearing him up for the start of his ministry. Some say it was just to battle the devil, which I just imagine them like kung fu fighting in the desert or something like that. But here's the thing. We don't really know why this happened, and I'm not sure why it matters. I think what matters is that while Jesus was attempting to spend 40 days and 40 nights focusing on God, the devil jumped at the opportunity to try and take him out. And that's exactly what he did. Verse 3 says this, during that time, the devil came to Jesus and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. So first, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. And remember, this comes right after God opened up the heavens and said, you are my son. You are my son and you bring me joy. And immediately, Satan goes after Jesus' identity. He says, is that really who you are? Are you really God's son? Did God really say that about you? Now, I don't know about you, but I feel this part in my core. When the devil is trying to break me down, he goes straight for how I see myself. He does everything he can to have me see myself differently than how God sees me. He starts poking and asking those questions. Are you sure you're a good husband? If you were a good pastor, you would. Do you really think you're smart enough, strong enough, healthy enough to do whatever you feel like God's asking you to do? That's immediately what Satan does to Jesus. The second thing he says is if you really are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. And here's what the devil is doing. He's actually twisting Scripture. Satan is referencing a moment when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and God turned stones into bread so they could eat. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to tempt Jesus into giving in to his fleshly needs, his fleshly desires by justifying it through a story in the Bible. But Jesus responds. He says, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so what does Jesus do? To fight back, what does he do? He quotes scripture. Right? He doesn't need to drum up the right words. He doesn't need to find the right words. He already has them. He has God's words. Right? Jesus is so deeply rooted in God's word that when the devil comes after his identity, when the devil comes after his physical well-being, Jesus just quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. That's not the way this works. But Satan doesn't relent. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Again, the devil goes after Jesus' identity. He says, if you are the Son of God, and then he twists scripture again in an attempt to shake Jesus' faith and trust in God. The devil is saying to him, if God loves you as much as he says he loves you, or as much as you think he loves you, you should test him. Jump off this building and see if he will catch you. He's whispering in Jesus' ear, are you sure God is there for you? Are you sure God cares about you? Well, if you're so sure, then prove it. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. So again, Jesus quotes the Old Testament. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:6. Continuing, next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. At this time, the devil tries to tempt Jesus with power and authority and wealth, all earthly things that people truly long to have. But again, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. He says, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the devil went away and the angels took care of Jesus. Three times the devil goes after Jesus while he's in the wilderness. He attacks his identity and who God says he is. He appeals to his physical needs, to his hunger. He tries to get him to doubt God and his goodness. He offers him control and money and power. And three times Jesus responds by quoting scripture. This is why we have to have strong roots. This is why we have to be rooted in truth. So let me ask you this question. What are you rooted in? Because the reality is that we are all rooted in something that we believe is truth. There's always something in our life that ultimately dictates how we live, how we treat others, what our priorities are, how we respond to the highs and lows in our life. Whether we are aware of it or not, we are rooted in something that we believe is truth. And so what would you say that you're rooted in? Here's another question. Where does your truth come from? Where does your truth come from? Does truth come from yourself? Do you just kind of make it up as you go? You kind of create your own rules. You do what you want when you want. You get to decide what's right and wrong. And ultimately, your truth in your life, really what you're saying is you're God in your own life. Does truth come from where you grew up? From social media, from your own selfish desires. One time the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, a young man that he was mentoring, and Timothy was leading the church in Ephesus, and at the time, people were abandoning their faith. And specifically, what was happening is that they were getting truth from other places, from other leaders than God. And so Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we are living in that time, a time when people no longer listen to God's truth. They just kind of make it up as they go. And so where does your truth come from? Does truth come from the way you were raised? Does it come from your mom or your dad or some other adult that was placed in your life? The thing is, this is what a lot of us default to until we get married or until we have kids, and then we realize that our parents weren't perfect. That's when we realize that we were set in this truth of our parents, and it's not as strong as we thought it was. A lot of our issues as adults come from the fact that we believe truth came from mom and dad, and we have learned that it was a truth that was incomplete or formed by their own pain, their own trauma. How about culture? Does culture decide what is truth in your life? Right? Society is cool with it, so I am too. Culture thinks that sex is just something you do with a try it before you buy it mentality, but scripture says that sex is designed by God for marriage between a husband and a wife. Culture says that building up your own wealth will lead to happiness. Scripture says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Culture says it doesn't matter who or what we worship because all paths lead to heaven. But Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life and no one gets to the Father except through me. So where does truth come from? Culture? Social media trends that fade away? Right? That influencer who gets paid for your click so they just say things to stir things up on the internet? Does ultimate truth come from your feelings? Or do you allow your feelings to dictate how you live your life? And feelings are good, right? We all have feelings. We all need to figure out how to better express them in healthy ways. That's really important. The Bible talks a lot about things like sorrow and joy and anger and peace. But are your feelings what dictates truth in your life? Pastor John Piper once said, "My feelings are not God. God is God. My feelings do not define truth. God's word defines truth. My feelings are echoes and responses to what my mind perceives. And sometimes, many times, my feelings are out of sync with the truth. When that happens, and it happens every day in some measure, I try not to bend the truth to justify my imperfect feelings. But rather, I plead with God, purify my perceptions of your truth and transform my feelings so that they are in sync with the truth." We want to be rooted in truth. Not our feelings, not our parents, not culture. And listen, our parents and our feelings and our past experience can all be good things. They can lead to wisdom, they can help us grow, but they cannot be the ultimate source of truth in our life. Ultimate truth can only come from God and his word. Right? And it can't just be the parts of the Bible that we like. I take all of the grace, but none of the truth. I'll take all of the redemption, but none of the repentance. I'll take all of the faith, but none of the action. If we are picking and choosing what biblical truth we are obedient to, we aren't really choosing truth. It's half truth mixed with our feelings. Half truth mixed with culture. Half truth mixed with your past. But that isn't truth. And the reason we believe that scripture is the ultimate source of truth isn't just because Jesus says it is. It's because he died and rose from the grave. It's because he promised that he would be executed on a cross and then conquer death, and he did it. And the people who all witnessed this thing go down, they started the church so they could tell as many people as possible about it. They wrote it down so we get to read it today. And listen, if my parents died and resurrected from the dead, I would take what they say as ultimate truth. If that TikToker conquered death and rose from the grave, I would believe their words and I would root myself in them. If my feelings took on the sins of the world and then beat death, then I would let that be the source of truth. But only Jesus did that. And so here's the really simple, easy application for today. We need to be reading the Bible every day. It is that simple. If you want to be rooted in truth, if you want to be able to withstand whatever storms you face in your life, if you want to be healthy and grow and heal, if you want to push out what is toxic, if you want to be able to stand strong when Satan starts whispering half-truths and full-out lies in your ear, you've got to be reading your Bible every single day. Now, last fall, we did this series called Mark that was all about why we should read the Bible and the impact that Scripture can have on our lives. And I shared study after study about how reading the Bible heals trauma, that people who read the Bible daily have more hope, that reading scripture every day leads to higher success in breaking addictions, healing marriages, viewing yourself the way God does, and a ton more. And because we did that series in the fall, I'm not going to run through all of that stuff again today, but I would encourage you, if you want to dig deeper into that, you should check out the Marked series on YouTube or Spotify. We talk about where you should read the Bible or where you should start reading the Bible, why you should read the Bible, all these incredible things. But for today, my hope is that the story of Jesus is enough to convince you to start reading your Bible so you can be rooted in truth. Let's go back to the story about Jesus. Satan does everything he can to hurt him, to wreck him, to get Jesus to take his eyes off of what matters the most, his relationship with God. And Jesus doesn't respond by sharing his feelings. He doesn't respond by quoting what that one person said that one time. He responds with God's word. And the only way that we will do that in our own lives is if we are daily rooted in Scripture. Now, I want to strictly talk to the people in this room who are Christians for a second. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you can listen. This is kind of like a insider conversation. Just kind of peek in and laugh at them a little bit. But if you are a Christian, I need you to lean in because it's really easy to think that today is a topic for just the people in this room who are doubting or are skeptical or to seek out truth in other places. But if you are a follower of Jesus, I need to ask you, where does your truth come from? Is it from the Bible, or is it from a person who quotes Scripture? Is it from the Bible, or is it from your parents? Is it from the Bible, or is it from your pastor? Is it from the Bible, or is it from that Christian social media influencer? Because what I see more and more every single day are Christians who get the Bible from everything other than the Bible. Check this out. I shared this a few years ago, but I want to share it again because I think it's too good. MIT released a study in 2021 where they found that 19 out of the top 20 ranked Christian Facebook pages were fake. They had generic names like Jesus is my Lord, Light of the World, Blessed by Jesus, and they promoted generic content such as Bible verses, inspirational stories, and encouraging quotes. But they were all created by Eastern European troll farms that stole content from other Facebook pages. And MIT found that it was all part of this elaborate effort to attract large and unsuspecting audiences to pages that were used to distribute partisan political stories with the goal of influencing voters and pitting Americans against Americans. And here's why this matters. You probably follow some of those pages. To be honest, you're probably sharing some of those things that those pages are sharing. And some of those verses are legitimate verses. But are you checking? Are you actually opening up your Bible to see, is that actually what Jesus said? Is that actually what God asks us to do? Because if your scripture reading comes from that Facebook page that you follow, you are just setting yourself up for failure. It is a facade of being rooted, because the place that you really get truth is the Bible, not the Facebook page that posts things like the Bible. So be rooted in Scripture. Not the scripture your grandma had quilted on her pillows, not the scripture that shows up on your Instagram stories, not the scripture that you think you know, the scripture that is found in the Bible. In March of 2023, a devastating story came out about a Belgian man who began discussing climate change with an AI chatbot and ended up taking his own life. After messaging with a chatbot for weeks on end, this man became convinced that he had to sacrifice his own life in return for AI saving the earth. In a series of consecutive events, the chatbot not only failed to dissuade this man from committing suicide, but actually encouraged him and put suicidal thoughts in his mind, saying that if he did it, he would join her and they would live together as one in paradise. It's a terrible story. But the most heartbreaking part was this quote from his wife. One interview, she said, he lost who he was, and he placed all of his hopes in technology and artificial intelligence. And listen, I don't share this story to stir up conspiracy theories about AI or climate change. Right? That's not what this is about. Here's why I share this story. When our truth is rooted in anything other than God's word, when we grab hold and anchor our lives to anything other than Jesus, whether that's AI or our feelings or our culture or our parents or our wounds, whatever it may be, we will never get to experience the life that Jesus has for us. The joy that Jesus has for us, the peace that Jesus has for us, the grace that Jesus has for us. So what is your marriage rooted in? What is your hope rooted in? What is your purpose rooted in? What is your self-worth rooted in? What are you rooted in? Let's pray. God, we have this incredible gift that you have given us. We have this tool. We have this lifeline. We have this foundational piece full of what you want us to do and how you want us to live. God, full of how you want us to experience the highs and lows of life, full of wisdom to teach us a better way to live, full of stories about grace so we know we can get back up when we've been knocked down. But God, for whatever reason, it's really hard for us to open up our Bible. God, it's really, really hard for us to read Scripture and choose to set our foundation on that and be anchored in that because our feelings get in the way, our trauma gets in the way, our parents get in the way, culture and society get in the way. But God, if we step out and we think about this, even for 30 minutes on a Sunday, we recognize that if we root ourselves in things other than you, it just all falls apart. God, we will get destroyed when the storm comes. God, some of us are in that place right now, which is why we're here. So God, I just pray this week, as we think about these questions of what are you rooted in and where does truth come from, God, I pray that we are honest with ourselves. And God, if the answer isn't we are rooted in your truth, God, I pray this week we make a change. God, that we open up our Bible, we begin to read and learn and understand the way you want us to live. Because God, you don't promise that it'll take away all the pain or all the storms, but you do promise that it'll teach us how to withstand those or how to get back up or how to weather those storms or how to not do it alone. God, ultimately, that there's grace so when we do mess up and we're not rooted in you, we can pick back up and keep trusting you and keep going. God, we are just so thankful that you gave us this gift. God, we are so thankful that the Bible exists, but God, help us have the discipline and the courage, the priorities to make it a part of our daily life so we can be rooted in your truth, not in anything else in this world. God, we thank you and love you and pray these things in your names. Amen.
If our values here at Collective resonate with you, we'd love to encourage you to lean into our community. Head to our website at www.mycollective.church, download the Church Center app and choose Collective Church as your home church, or follow us on social media at My Collective Church to learn more and find opportunities to own your growth.